Aloha, everybody, and welcome to another installment of the Pod Squad. As always, Chad Blair with Honolulu Civil Beat. And joining me today is Anne Wright. She is a retired U.S. Army Reserve colonel and a former U.S. diplomat who resigned in opposition to the 2003 war on Iraq. And by the way, if I understand correctly, hello, Anne, how are you?
Well, good morning, Chad. I'm doing well. Thank you.
If I understand correctly, back in 03, you actually were among a number of government insiders, military, active military, who actually leaked documents. You spoke out. You resigned or you refused to deploy in protest of the war. Is that correct?
Well, there were three of us from the federal government who actually resigned over the Iraq war. It turned out we were all three diplomats.
You were in the State Department.
In the State Department. We didn't know each other. We were in different parts of the world. I was the deputy ambassador in Mongolia. We had one fellow that was in Athens, Greece, and the other one was in Washington, D.C. Subsequently, we found out that there were other people that were behind the scenes doing a lot of challenging of the policy to invade and occupy Iraq, oil-rich, Arab-Muslim Iraq that had done nothing to us in 9/11, and yet the Bush administration decided it was going to invade and occupy it as regime change.
That's turned out so well.
Oh, yes, and it just continues, doesn't it? I mean, under the Obama administration, the attempts at regime change, military operations to throw out people that we don't like.
These are bipartisan efforts, if you will, but clearly, in your view, not in the best interest of the United States or the world.
Not at all.
Well, the reason we invited you in today is because, and by the way, Anne lives here on Oahu. She does travel a great deal. But she, every holiday for the last 9 years, and by holiday I mean the Christmas New Year's time, she and others have held a little protest, a vigil really, outside Barack Obama's holiday compound in Kailua. And this is now the 9th year in a row. That means the first time he wasn't actually president
That's
yet.
That's right. In December of 2008, before he was inaugurated in January of 2009, the Israeli government had attacked Gaza, and during the midst of that attack, the Bush administration was saying nothing about it. So we decided we'd go over and see if we couldn't get the new Obama administration to say something.
Well, take me to the area that you are. Describe where you guys actually protest in Kailua. How close is it to where he rents that house every year with his first family? And what do? You bring hats and sunscreen and things like that?
Well, you do, because most of the time it's pretty sunny. We usually go over. We know he likes to go work out, so we try to be there either at 7 in the morning as he's going or when he comes back, or if you want to hang around till later in the morning when he heads out for the golf course. So we trundle on over to Kailua, always a good trip, a beautiful part of our beautiful island here, and we have our signs, and Well, it's amazing how many signs we've had for years.
What are the signs read? You mentioned Israel already. Give me some other examples.
Well, one of them is Free Gaza, Save Palestine on the Israeli-Palestine issues. But we also do a lot of things on the assassin drones, where President Obama has used these assassin drones more than any other president, and he's the one that has authorized the extrajudicial execution of American citizens with drones. Two of them
That Alaki fellow, if I remember. Yes. I probably have the name wrong, but he was the cleric from the U.S. who then...
And then his son, 16-year-old son.
Okay, all right. You mentioned the drones. What's another issue
of
mind?
The issue of U.S. military bases all over the world, and particular here in the Pacific and in Asia. So we talk about bases here in Hawaii. We talk about incidents here like the use of the Ospreys, this helicopter. They call it the Widowmaker because it's crashed tragically so many times, killing our Marine pilots and crew members and injuring people in Okinawa in particular. That's where there is a large number of Ospreys. Many of us have been to various areas in Asia and the Pacific, and I've been to Okinawa probably about 10 times in the last 5 years, and also to Jeju Island in South Korea, where there is a new naval base. We challenged that one because it's being used for the deployment of the Aegis missile defense system, primarily on South Korean vessels, but also on U.S. vessels. They'll be using it as a home port. And then in Okinawa, the issue of the construction of a runway for a U.S. Marine base in the Honoko Bay area. The issue of sexual assault and rapes of women and children in Okinawa. We have signs about that.
Quite a broad topic. And by the way, I don't know if you saw Anita Hofschneider's series on military expansion, U.S. military expansion in the CNMI and Guam area, in no small part because they're trying to scale back the Okinawan operations. But Pagan Island, there's that other one, I think it's...
Tinian.
Tinian, of course.
And then Guam itself.
Guam itself.
That was an excellent, excellent series.
She did a great job. Our photographer, Corey Lem, actually flew out there and... that's quite a lot. Well, let me just ask you this.
Let me just say, I met Corey for the first time in Standing Rock.
Oh, that's right. You probably met Nick Groovy
as well.
And
I did meet Nick, yes.
Another great, I tell you, I'm so grateful to work for news organizations that actually will send people to where the action is. Now, we're picky. We don't go everywhere. But that's right. You were in Standing Rock.
Yeah.
Now, back to the compound. I've actually been in the press pool once or twice when he's done that, and it's a bunch of sitting at McDonald's and Starbucks waiting for him to drive by. But it's usually a number of black vehicles that take off, his caravan. Is that accurate?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, probably about 8 vehicles, and then the press pool vehicle that is usually the last one.
Like a bus or
a little bus, and we try to get our signs up there. You know, hopefully somebody will take a little picture of us to at least record for history that there are citizens that are challenging various policies of administrations. And it's like we're equal opportunity people. He's here, so we protest his, but I was in the ditches in Crawford, Texas for George Bush for a long
time. Cindy Sheehan, right?
With Cindy Sheehan,
that's right.
Yeah.
The California mother who lost her son in Iraq.
Yes.
If I
That's
remember
right.
correctly. I actually interviewed her back in the day. Well, you do get noticed by the press pool because I get the White House feed, and so occasionally I'll see it. And by the way, full disclosure, my mother, Patricia Blair, who no doubt is listening to this podcast right now, has on occasion joined in the demonstration. So I should just make that fully
Pat
clear.
Pat Blair is one of our strongest persons. She's there. She sits on her little scooter now, and she has posters everywhere. She is a stalwart challenging.
Longtime readers of Civil Beat know very well where Patricia Blair stands. But let's not go there today. So the press pool notices you. Do you think the president ever sees you?
Well, yes, I'm sure he does. And I'm sure the Secret Service alert him that, yes, we have some people that are standing out with signs today. Interestingly, though, you know, sometimes people will wave to you and like that. To my knowledge, we've never even gotten a wave out of President Obama, which is kind of shocking to me because here he is, a constitutional lawyer. He knows what our rights are.
And, born on Oahu.
And born on Oahu.
If the birth certificate is correct.
Well, I'm sure it is, though. I mean, in the aloha spirit, I mean, we're not nasty, mean, or anything like that. We're just holding up signs about policies and waving to them. And we now have a sign that says, waiting to talk story for 8 years, and now it's marked out 9 years.
Well, know. if for some reason, and it's probably not going to happen, he did stop, got out the door, and came up to you, what would be your main message to him?
Well,
because I'm sure he's listening to this podcast.
I bet he is. And I would just like to say, Mr. President,
that
we would like to remind you about the costs of all of these interventions that are going on for regime change that have happened under his watch.
And are likely to continue under Mr. Trump.
Well, I don't know. Now,
maybe
Trump
not.
Trump has said that he thinks some of this regime change stuff is kind of crazy. That may be one of the only points that I agree with Mr. Trump on.
So you would say you would hammer home this regime change thing.
I would hammer home because when we look at all of the subsequent things that have happened,
Syria, ISIS, Lebanon, Turkey.
Yeah, and ISIS itself being formed out of the people that were put in prison by the United States.
Right.
Al-Baghdadi and all of that got together while they were in U.S. prisons there. And
Trump has actually said, we caused ISIS. And that's a truth.
And that's a truth. It is. Yeah. So that would be things that I would I would also say something positive to him.
What would you do?
Well, I think this Obamacare thing. I mean, the fact that he...
The one that's going to be gutted by the Republicans.
And granted, it wasn't perfect, right. And there were problems with it, but we did have 38 million more Americans that have some type of insurance. That's really good. you know, I want to give him credit for a very tough 8 years where I think he has been, he and his administration have come in for justified criticism on some things, but what the Republicans have done to the administration and to our country and tying it in knots. And that's one thing that I hope that somehow through this next 4 years with President Trump, that we've got to be able to have a government that functions. It's got to start working a little bit better because what happened in the last 4 years of the Obama administration has been very unhelpful, I think, for our whole country internally and then externally, our image abroad. As you mentioned, I do travel an awful lot, and people are really questioning what in the world is going on with the United States. And as a citizen of our country, I want to be proud of it. And
okay. I just have to ask you a couple more questions. You know, Kailua is a fairly conservative town. Kaneohe Marine Base is, you know, basically the military tends to be more conservative. Are there people that treat you poorly when you guys are out there sign waving? I don't know, flipping the bird or yelling at you?
Yeah, well, you get a few birds every now and then. And if the owner agrees with us, that's fine. And let's talk it out. And one year we had this guy on a bicycle that just kept going by and by and by. And I think your mother got him a couple of different times on, well, stop and talk to us because I want to hear what you have to say, but I want you to listen to what I have to say.
That doesn't sound like her at all.
Or maybe she was the one that, no.
No, that's funny. You know, the inauguration is coming up. We're sending a team. Corey, as a matter of fact, Corey Lum and Andy Quintana. We've got a D.C. bureau person now, Kirsten Downey. They're going to be there. Fortunately, I don't have to go to D.C. in the middle of January. But do you plan on going?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't miss this for the world.
What do you think? Is it going to be as big as people are talking about?
Well, I don't know. I know that there are a lot of people that are going to be there with signs to challenge the policies and the specific individuals that Trump is pointing to as cabinet. I mean, the billionaire cabinet of the next administration.
Goldman Sachs, in part.
Oh, and Goldman Sachs now owns the cabinet now. And then the next day after the inauguration is a very large women's march that will be going on there. And we will have one here in Honolulu.
That's right. They're paired intentionally. And I hear there's some other protests as well. I'm sure you've got warm weather, or rather cold weather gear ready to be deployed.
Well,
right?
After Standing Rock. In fact, Standing Rock outfitted me. I was there with very modest clothing, and I was walking around freezing to death, and one of the tribal elders saw me and said, "Ann, why are you shaking? Why are you shivering?" I said, "Well, I don't have the clothes." And he went, "We have 10 million tons of clothes that have been donated. Go right over there to the clothing warehouse and get something." And so I proudly am wearing my Standing Rock ski jacket to the inauguration.
Well, that's highly symbolic. I understand Trump actually owns some stock in the company involved in the pipeline, but let's not go there. It's just been great revisiting with you. I've known you for a number of years.
Yes.
And Ann Wright, I want to thank you for demonstrating the purpose of the First Amendment, the Constitution. I'm sure you will continue your activities elsewhere. And I want to thank all of you for listening in. And a reminder, visit us at civilbeat.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. For the Pod Squad in Honolulu Civil Beat, I'm Chad Blair. Take care and aloha.